You're going to have to take your shirt off.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You invite a comedian on a sports show, I'm going to give you laughs. Right?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm not going to give you, oh, this guy's hurt. He's got an ankle.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Guys, are we chit-chat?
Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion running back, LeSean McCoy, six-time Pro Bowl wide receiver, Brandon Marshall, plus Rams defensive back, Jalen Ramsey. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host. Right here on the Los Angeles set of said program. I'm best at ever. Let me get this sign straightened out right here. Still? My desk center. I was 3 years running, I think.
Running on a post.
Okay. This is the first time I've ever done this program in the 7+ years now, 8th season. Never done this fresh off of doing First Take on ESPN.
Rats.
And I'm sorry to say, some of the things I'm saying today are my second takes. And normally I give you the freshest first take that I can give you. And some of the material here today is recycled. Certainly if it's going to be trolling on Michael Irvin. So I'm thrilled to be here. I've got a lot going on today, and I'm already highly caffeinated and first taken.
Where's Liam Neeson?
I don't know. First Taken. How are you, Chris Brockman?
Rich, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Oh boy, may Meatloaf rest in peace. Louis Anderson as well. Two guests that have been on this program. We'll play you some of their appearances. If not here, then on our YouTube pages. And our social media handles. Good to see you, Feller. How are you, Jason?
What's
Feller?
Up, man?
At Jay Felly. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. You're not pleased with me. You're not happy.
Well, Rich, two things. I can see paradise in the dashboard light.
Thank you.
And also, I can see Michael Irvin being very upset with you.
Why?
When he watches this, because you were so disrespectful to the three-time Super Bowl champion, to the Pro Football Hall of Famer, to the Dallas Cowboy legend, the playmaker Michael Irvin. You and Stephen A. Smith, the disrespect that I heard on First Take today,
I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't understand what you're talking about. Because I was just spitting truth. I am genuinely concerned that Michael Irvin is broken. We've got 4.5 hours of game day morning tomorrow to take you to kickoff of the divisional playoff game between the Bengals and the top-seeded Tennessee Titans in the AFC. Then we've got 4 more hours to take you to kickoff of the game that could potentially, depending on how things go on Saturday night, decide who hosts the NFC Championship game and potentially dethrone the champs. That's 4 hours leading up to a Tom Brady divisional playoff game against the Los Angeles Rams. I'm concerned that Michael's a broken man based on how Stephen A. Smith did him dirty on Monday. And I didn't even see the video, Richard Isco of Game Day Morning, the producer of NFL Game Day Morning. He sent me the video. I didn't know that I was mentioned on Monday's program by Stephen A. Smith pointing out to Michael Irvin that I had more catches than CeeDee Lamb had in the loss to the San Francisco 49ers. I had more catches on game day morning. We looked it up. That's not accurate. I had the same number of catches of CeeDee Lamb.
I think he had more yards.
One catch, but I double caught mine, so technically that's two catches.
You had more yards.
I definitely caught mine more than 5 yards.
Yeah,
and unlike CeeDee Lamb, my longest catch of the day was not nullified by penalty. Yeah.
We thought we moved on and turned the page.
Yeah, no,
the page,
sir.
The page was turned.
No,
I thought we were on to the next chapter.
No.
I thought we put that to bed.
This is the first weekend of the playoffs in which the varsity, as you like to call them, is not playing.
So we'll see if the parents show up.
So the funny thing is, as Michael Irvin was referred to by Stephen A. Smith on today's program, his setup initial question to me on First Take.
I hope he fights
was,
all
was,
of you.
His initial setup question to me on First Take was, now that the Cowboys are out, what purpose does Michael Irvin serve?
Man.
Ouch.
I heard
is what he said. Now, I just defend Michael to say that there were more things for him to talk about. You know. What?
You took way too much joy. You were too giddy this morning about that, man. You were so happy.
What what purpose do the divisional playoff games serve if the Cowboys are not in them, right?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying.
Cancel the season.
Oh, no. Now I know. Now I know what purpose they serve. The teams that are in it are competing to decide who actually wins the championship.
40 million people aren't going to tune in to see any other games, all right, Rich?
We'll see. So you're saying, outside of the Super Bowl, because you know you're going to lose that battle, that the Cowboys and the 49ers, that the 40-some-odd million people that watched it on average and then crested above the 50 million mark.
That's what I saw.
That will wind up serving as the highest-rated playoff game of the wild card divisional and championship game rounds. That's what you're saying.
I'm pretty sure.
How? Stephen A. Smith is reappearing on the program. Anyway,
good one,
thank you to Stephen A. for the invite. It was great to chat with Molly Kierum again. And then, of course, being back on the Worldwide Leader in Sports. That was kind of cool. So, we've got a great show here. LeSean McCoy is coming up in 14 minutes.
JD.
And also, he knows what it's like to play in big games with Andy Reid as a coach, right? What?
I don't know why that was funny.
Well, here's why it was funny, Chris, because Rich is so intelligent, so he's going to pick at me. And he wasn't talking Andy Reid, LeSean McCoy Chiefs. He was talking Andy Reid, LeSean McCoy Eagles when they beat up on the Cowboys a little. That's what he was thinking.
Who's reading into things you shouldn't read into?
Come on. This is Rich. Chris, you know this man. This man's very intelligent.
Love LeSean McCoy's nickname.
Shady.
Secondly.
Cut on dime.
Secondly,
25
back-to-back Super Bowl champion LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, put some respect on his name.
So if anyone wants to pick him up here in the playoffs, maybe Shady can get that third straight ring.
That's right. He won with the Chiefs and he won with the Bucks, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So he knows all about it. Yeah. I'm looking at you when I deliver that line, too. It's got nothing to do with you.
Well, that one didn't.
Wow.
You're talking about Super Bowl wins. Clearly, it had nothing to do with me.
Yeah,
Brandon Marshall's going to join us. I love checking in with Brandon. He's one of my favorites. I love him. And as you know, I've turned the page on Antonio Brown, but he reopened the book. And if anybody's going to interview Antonio Brown that I'm interested in hearing what he's got to say, it's Brandon Marshall. Because this is going to drop on Monday on I Am Athlete, the podcast that Brandon has created. Very popular podcast. And that's going to drop on the I Am Athlete YouTube page on Monday. And he told Brandon that he does not have mental problems. As you know, if Brandon Marshall is all about making sure that mental health awareness is at the forefront of so many people's minds.
Well, and all the Twitter psychiatrists have diagnosed Antonio Brown here in the last couple of years.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm one of them. I think he needs help.
Yeah.
Senator, Brandon's going to join us and give us some 2 cents on the playoffs coming up in an hour from now. And then third hour, Jalen Ramsey will join us on this program. It's his job to lock down Mike Evans and potentially pick off Tom Brady and lead the Los Angeles Rams into the championship game round. That's what his job is. And I can't wait to chat with him. That's in hour three. TJ's Big Ass Grab Bag and more of your phone calls. Chris Brockman, Sneaky Good Games. Del Tufo is not here for the weather report. So we'll just tell you, it's going to be cold in Green Bay.
Should we get Mike to call in?
No. No.
Why are you flatly rejecting that?
Because I know what's right for the program.
Okay. You don't think
everything ready?
Yeah, no, you don't think a crazy phone call from wherever Mike is and it's going to be a train
wreck? You want to arrange that? Go for it.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
it's raining sideways.
Let me work on that.
Very good.
Hold on. I got it.
Okay. Now then, I'm going to do for the divisional playoff round, okay, the final weekend of the NFL season where there are multiple games on multiple days. Unfortunately, there's just going to be one more weekend with multiple games, and then there's just one more weekend of game, period, the big game, and that's that. The divisional round has habitually been known. This is prior to the wild card weekend being expanded and called super, despite the results. This is the weekend in which the best play. This is the best weekend of National Football League football. Multiple games, multiple days. The teams that have the bye weeks now have to actually play and put their seasons on the line in the same way that everybody else who made this weekend did the previous weekend. No longer. It's now the divisional playoff weekend, and it is now time for me to rank these games in terms of my level of interest from 4-1. I need NFL Films music, Mr. Feller, please.
You got it.
To set the mood.
Let's go.
Because here we go. I've got some interesting facts and nuggets for you to make you smarter and get you all hyped up. Hit it, please. And we start with all due respect. I'm going to jump in, and you all know which is number 4 on this list because there are no previous MVPs playing in this game. There are two teams that don't have the history in big games for quite some time. One of them, as we know, wound up a yard short of winning it all. Another one wound up being unfortunate in their two previous Super Bowl appearances, having to beat Joe Montana. I'm talking about the Bengals at the Titans. That is number 4 on my list of games that I'm looking most forward to. And Titans fans, I'm sure you're sitting there saying, oh, well, you've been pounding the table for the Titans, or at least some of you have heard me do that, and now I'm disrespecting them as the number 1 seed. I've just basically set up to tell you that this may have a lot of future stars, certainly from the Cincinnati side of things, and the Titans may wind up going to the Super Bowl, and, you know, then they won't be of the least interesting aspect of a divisional playoff weekend that they deserve the kudos to go get, certainly with all the injuries that they suffered. That said, now that I've said it, here are some interesting facts about this game. Derrick Henry's coming back, and we're all making a big deal of it, as we should. Guy finished with almost 1,000 yards rushing, and we haven't seen him in a few months. He finished 9th on the rushing list, and we haven't seen him in a few months. He's incredible, and he is a difference maker. But maybe we're looking at the wrong guy, because there's another guy on this team that's been banged up this year, and we've seen him more recently than obviously several months ago. But this team, the Tennessee Titans, are 11-2 when A.J. Brown is active and healthy. And we saw it against the San Francisco 49ers when he was a surprise dress and active player on a night, and he dominated. This is the guy, I think, along with Derrick Henry, clearly, is going to be the way that the Titans get through, because the Cincinnati Bengals are a red-hot team coming in, with a red-hot quarterback in one Joey Burrow. Let's talk about Joe Burrow. He comes in this game in the last 3 contests, 1,200 passing yards plus, 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in a 3-game span. In the history of the NFL, the number of quarterbacks who previously had over 1,200 passing yards, 10 or more touchdowns, and no interceptions in a 3-game span are nobody. Joe Burrow's the first. That's how hot this quarterback is. Nobody's ever done that over a 3-game span. Against Baltimore, Kansas City, and Vegas, the key here is those were all in the jungle. This one is on the road. It's the leadoff game of divisional playoff weekend. Number 3 on the list, I went with the nightcap on Saturday. And I know that I'm going with the 1 seeds as 4 and 3 on this list. But I'm going with the Packers and the 49ers as number 3 on this list. Even though so much is on the line with Rodgers, could you imagine if Green Bay, after all of this and that, the this being the regular season and the that being the non-playing season leading up to Rodgers showing up for the this, could you imagine if they are one and done by the 49ers just like the Cowboys were? And what that would mean in terms of Rodgers' short-term decision and then, of course, his overarching legacy. He's still going to be the number 1 quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, in my mind, on so many parts of the stat sheet. And he's still going to be, you know, one of the best of his generation. But he still won't have had as many Super Bowls as Bart Starr. I'm front-loading the conversation if we come on the air on Monday and Rodgers isn't a playoff victorious quarterback this weekend. So there is a lot on the line. It's a rematch of the 2019 NFC title game. Matt LaFleur with a win. Let's be positive here for a moment. with a win, he would be the second coach in the Super Bowl era, night since 1970, to reach three straight conference title games in his first 3 years as head coach. The only other coach to go to a championship game in his first 3 years as a head coach in the NFL is Jim Harbaugh. Yes, that's correct. Nobody else would be able to come out of the gate quite like those two if LaFleur gets there. Now, one thing to look at for Green Bay, and my whole commentary so far has been Rodgers focused because it's a quarterback-driven league and this is the guy we're expecting to go back-to-back for the MVP. But it's the defense, folks, for Green Bay to look at. In Rodgers' 20 career playoff starts, folks, the Packers' defense has given up an average of 26.6 points per game. That is the most points per game given up by a defense for any quarterback that started 10 or more playoff games. And Rodgers is going to start his 21st. Against the Niners, he's never beaten the Niners in the playoffs. You know why? Because the Niners have averaged 35 points per game in those three games. So look at the D. And if the Niners are struggling on offense, very good sign for Green. I know we're going to be focused on Rodgers and Adams and the run game. It's the defense. Stupid, I guess. So keep an eye on all of that in that rematch of the 2019 NFC Championship game that the Niners, I think, still Raheem Mostert hit his head on the goalpost just again 5 minutes ago from that one. Number two on this list, I am going with the kickoff on Sunday. I'm going with the Rams and the Buccaneers. Tom Brady's playing in this game, folks. Will we have in this game the Rams winning, meaning we would have a new champion in the NFL this year? Also, if the Niners pull off the upset on Saturday night in the freezing cold of Lambeau Field, this game would be for the right to host the NFC Championship game, adding a little extra layer of all of this. Now then, some interesting facts going into this one. Sean McVay, with the win over the Cardinals, tied John Robinson for the most wins by a Rams coach in the team's postseason history. If he wins this one, he'll be the winningest coach in Rams postseason history. And I don't know if you heard, he's not yet 40. You know who is 40? The quarterback of the Buccaneers. Brady's going for his 10th straight win in the divisional round. Let me repeat that. He's going for his 10th straight win in the divisional round against a quarterback who's making his first ever divisional round appearance. And interestingly enough about Stafford and Brady, we all know about Stafford and his legacy conversation. He's got the numbers for Hall of Fame trajectory. He just doesn't have the playoff wins. This is the, you know, I guess, career-altering run that he could be going on, defeating Brady and knocking out the Bucs with Aaron Donald going up the middle along with the rest of that defense of an offensive line that is banged up. That's clearly the key in this game. And we got Jalen Ramsey on the back end of our show on this defense. He's on in hour number three. But it's just the third postseason game in the history of the NFL where both quarterbacks coming in had 40 or more touchdown passes in the regular season. Brady led the league with 43. Stafford was second with 41. The other two games, last year's NFC Championship game between Rodgers and Brady, and the 2011 wildcard game, get this, between Breeze and Matthew Stafford. How about that? So both quarterbacks in this game have already played in the previous such contest, and this is the third only such contest. Can't wait. Number one on the list is the finale. If you've noticed, I've gone in order here. That's just the way it's worked out. And I think the NFL kind of is building up to Bills and Chiefs. And it is a credit to both of these franchises that they are the number one game to look forward to of a divisional playoff weekend, and Brady and Rodgers are in two other ones. It's because of these two young quarterbacks, folks. It's because we've never seen a playoff game played in the NFL with both quarterbacks coming off of five touchdown performances from the previous week in the playoffs. We've never seen that before. This is the seventh time, interestingly enough. How about this for the Bills? This is the seventh time A team has had a chance to eliminate both a Belichick and an Andy Reid coach team in the same playoff. Okay? The previous six times, after knocking off one of the two, the team that tried to complete the sweep was 0-6 in trying to complete the sweep. It's never happened before. Now, I'm betting that's somebody beating an Andy Reid team, right, and then losing to a Belichick team maybe in the playoffs and the Super Bowl because the NFC and the AFC team. But the Bills have a chance to do something nobody's ever done before. Both quarterbacks are so good. Here's how good they are. They're both this young, and they're both earning that much money, and nobody's batting an eye. Nobody's batting an eye. They're that good. And Mahomes could be to Allen what Brady has been to Mahomes. And now with Brady out of the conference, this is the quarterback for Allen to go through and get to the back row and say, king me. I'm the king of this conference. To prevent the Chiefs from getting to a title game again for a fourth straight year. Which would, by the way, make Andy Reid the first coach to make a championship game in a conference 4 years in a row in two separate conferences. That's never happened. And how about this for the setup as well? Last division round game that was a rematch of a championship game from the year before. We all know that the Bills lost to the Chiefs in the championship game last year, and that's that famous photograph of Stephon Diggs watching the ceremony. The last divisional round game that was a rematch of the championship game the year before was the 2004 divisional game between the Patriots and the Colts, Brady versus Manning. And this, to me, is this generation's version of Brady versus Manning. And the time before that was the 79 divisional round between the Cowboys and the Rams. It's so rare what we're seeing. And that's why that's number one on my list of most fascinating divisional games. Hopefully we set the stage for you. Let's take a break. LeSean McCoy is going to join us. Can't wait to talk to this back-to-back Super Bowl champion. That's next on The Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio outfit joining us here, LeSean McCoy on the Rich Eisen Show. So what is Bruce Arians telling everybody right now, now that you know what it's like playing for him? What do you think's going on with Arians there right now?
I think with BA's an excellent coach. I was so surprised how well of a coach he was. I heard a lot of great things about him. So one thing about him is he also makes challenges, right? You know, and I think when he makes his challenges, he's a lot more serious. He's a lot more direct. One thing about B.A., man, is that I love is he's a coach that he doesn't hide his emotions, doesn't hide his thoughts or feelings. He's straight up. You know, his feelings is on the table, and I'm sure he's telling his guys right now, hey, man, it's a big challenge. You know, the Rams are talked about. They did a lot of changes and additions in the offseason to be where they're at right now. So the defensive line, you know, you guys just step up. make Stafford uncomfortable. And then offense. Hey, I mean, you got some guys down. You know, some guys are hurt. You got the best quarterback and best player to ever play the game in Tom Brady. So what are you guys going to do?
What's your good – what's your Brady story? You got one for me? The one that, that pretty much sums up what he's like to play with, teammate with, or on the field with? You got a good one for me?
LeSean, I got one for you. One day, I was just in a bad mood, right? I wasn't getting, like, certain plays I wanted to get, right? And he's like, hey, Shay, let's do some extra routes. And normally I always do it. You know, I'm always trying to perfect my craft. And one time I'm like, oh, no. I, like, waved it off, and I shook my head. I'm like, hey, Shady, because I think I heard him. Hey, Shady. And I, like, waved it off. And he came to me and said, hey, man, you know, let's do some extra routes. We kind of left, you know, the practice field. He came to me and grabbed my arm. He said, hey, when I ask you to do something, you do it. He said, I'm not telling you to do something I won't do, right? I was like, damn, that's a real leader right there. So that's one of my Tom Brady stories. He let me know, hey, look, man. The way I got to this level is not by that. It's about, you know, perfecting the craft and keep going.
So why were you upset again? Why were you?
I was just upset because I guess one of the plays I was supposed to get, I didn't get. I think they gave it to somebody else. It wasn't like, I had like a little moment, you know, hey, I had sure. a little moment.
So
he just checked me, hey, man, it's a team thing, you know?
So in that moment, you didn't just strip down and run off the field and quit?
No, I actually left my shoulder pads on.
Okay.
And it was at practice.
All right. But I just kind of find it interesting that, you know, you got down because you thought maybe you weren't getting the rep or you weren't getting the snap, you weren't getting the look, you weren't getting the target, and Brady's the one coming up to you to say, let me get you through this with the extra reps here to make sure you're sharp, because he knows, and you did too, deep down. I mean, you're a pro. I mean, you're not on the all-time teens list, you know, in the NFL for nothing. You know, too, that you could be called at any minute, and that's the route you have to win the game. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way it works.
Yeah. It's about being a professional. It's the NFL, and you know, we have our roles. And at the end of the day, we're all trying to win Super Bowls. And I think when we go back to – I'll give you one more story.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about Tom's speed, right? So, for like, the last couple of weeks, he was, like, sprinting. So they set up a race because he's so competitive, right? Right. He said, "Well, look, I'll race whoever you guys want to race." So the guys made a joke. So they brought up one of the coaches. Now the coach was like the wide receiver coach. I won't say his name, but he, you know, he's in shape. They know he plays some ball. And I think Tommy beat him to show you. Look, man, look, I could do it all. So that shows his competitive nature that you always hear about, read about.
Well, I know he tweeted out or he Instagrammed out a shot of him catching a football on the sideline that was thrown errantly, and he grabbed it out of the air, you know, like, and this is the sort of stuff that he wants to let everybody know. And you know, because, again, we keep talking about his accomplishments in terms of his age because we've never seen it. It just doesn't compute. You know what I mean? It does not compute. And now comes this this game this week where, you know, which two guys being out do you think matters more? Jensen and Wirfs up front or Godwin and Brown not in the pattern? What do you think, LeSean?
Oh, wait, so the two linemen are out. Is that
well, official? I'm just – it's not official, okay. But the guys haven't practiced all week. Even if they get out there on Friday, I mean, that's a – that might be the most grown-ass man in the history of the NFL coming up the middle of that defense, you know? Like, so even if they do play, you know there won't be 100%. So
that's true. That might be the biggest difference. You know why?
Why?
Since I've been there last year, and then this year, since being a part of, like, those are my friends and my guys,
mm-hmm.
they've been the most healthiest offensive line group I've been a part of, right? And if you know Brady, he's in tune with his linemen, right?
Yes.
Ryan is, like, extremely smart. And he kind of runs that show. And then Tristan is probably the best lineman. I mean, he has great feet. He's a superstar in the making. The things he's done this year, it's like, I mean, it's not surprising. So knowing that, that's probably the biggest, I think, issue would be the linemen if they're out. Because that's a great group. They know each other well. They know the plays they like to do well. They communicate on another level. So them two not playing, that would be dangerous for the team.
Sean McCoy here on the Rich Eisen Show prior to divisional playoff weekend. Which team in Tennessee Cincinnati or the Titans, would you be most concerned about coming out? The team that's number one with a huge lift, and we assume it's Derrick Henry coming back like Derrick Henry, or this young team that really doesn't know what they don't know in a way and don't care to know it, like the Bengals? Which one's more dangerous to you, do you think?
I'm going with the young gunners, man. I like what I call them the barrel crew. I love what they're doing. They're young, they're explosive. They have the I don't care attitude. Even in his second year, Joe Burrow is emerging to one of the biggest stars. Then you look at probably one of the – he's the best rookie wide receiver I've ever seen in Ja'Marr Chase.
Really?
I like them. I like Joe Mixon in the backfield. T. Higgins is in there. And then my guy, Tyler Boyd from Pittsburgh, holding it down. I love that group. I think they're dangerous because I remember just playing as a youngster, right, not knowing who's the real good guys and just playing and reacting. To when I knew who everybody was, it's like, okay, you're playing against Ray Lewis. Let me watch out for 52. You see what I'm saying? You just go out there playing. So right. They're more dangerous to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's funny. So, you know, the wiser you got, the less risky you got, basically, is what you're saying in the NFL, Deshaun?
I think, like, the smarter you got easier, but also you're just more aware, right? You're just more aware where if – you're younger, you're just running and gunning, and you're not aware. You might take a big hit because you didn't see it coming. You didn't know it was coming. You know, you're just playing. Balls to the walls, just going out there, giving all you got. You know, but I think when you're a young gunner, man, you take them dangerous risks. So I look at a quarterback where I'm young and I'm gonna try to throw that ball in the needle, thread in the needle, and get it in there compared to the older vet that's knowledgeable, that knows a little bit. I might not chance it.
LeSean McCoy.
You got to take a chance.
Yep, I hear you. LeSean McCoy here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so you won 2 years ago with the Chiefs. You won last year with the Bucks. If we could wave a wand and say you get a phone call from somebody saying join, or you get a phone call from somebody saying you could join any of the eight teams left so you could have a shot at a third ring in a row, one of those rare moments, which team would you choose? You have a choice. You could go on any of these eight teams. Which one would LeSean McCoy choose because you feel you could go back to back to back?
If I had that decision and choice,
yes, sir.
I would start off like this. Back to back. I'm going with the Bucks. I feel like they have the best opportunity.
You do. I chose the Bucks, okay? I chose the Bucks prior to last year, and I got off them. I'll be honest with you. The way that your team looked – going into Thanksgiving, that was the week in which you lost to the Chiefs, but we saw what happened after that, right? And I got off you, and I swore I would never get off of a Tom Brady quarterback team ever again if I thought they had the chance to win. And I chose them before this season, and I haven't gotten off them despite being given a mulligan by the NFL Network crew on Thanksgiving and yet last week. But the guys injured up front really, really make me nervous, LeSean.
Yeah, man, that's the biggest thing. If some guys are hurt, that's going to be tough for him.
Right.
For the team. But one thing about Brady, man, like just being there with him, like he's so aware of everything. So when they're getting pressure on him, right, you can't blitz him because he's going to be ready for that. You know, the only team I've ever seen really play us really well because they match up well with us was the Saints. Just because they got the guys up front.
Yeah.
And they got the guys in the back end, right? But when I look at the Rams, I don't think they don't have that, right?
You don't think hold on a second. I got Jalen Ramsey on in hour number three, LeSean. I don't want to get him upset.
Oh, I mean, he's one, but that's one guy. Like listen. I mean, he's by far the best corner in the league. He's a whole secondary. You see what I'm saying? I'm sure Tom's gonna stay away from him, right? Because I would.
Right.
And then he's got his tight ends now, right? He's got the other young guys. See, Tom knows like he's all about matchups. So okay, Godwin's hurt, and he's a hell of a player, and AB's not playing. He has other players with other abilities, so he's going to go for the matchups. Got the running backs, got the tight ends, Leonard Fournette's playing. So he's going to make it happen. And Tom, with the linemen, if they're banged up, he still finds a way. Like, okay, now my reads have to be quicker, right? The play calling has to be a little quicker. Now, longer play actions. Like, this guy is different. He's a different dude in the playoffs. You know this.
I do. That's why I'm not getting off him again. But the pack.
And lastly.
Yeah.
All the talk about the Belichick, I'm happy it's over because it's Brady. I try to tell you, it's really Brady. It's 12 that does all that magic, not Belichick. Now they can see it for their own eyes now that they separate with the championship and now the Tom's still in the playoffs, still making noise.
Come on, hold a second. Wait a minute. You're saying, come on. Belichick doesn't nothing. You're like it was all Brady the entire time. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I can't say all, but it's more like 60-40. You know what I mean? 60-40. I'm being generous.
Including the times when Tom was starting back, you know, before you even were playing, when you were a twinkle in the Pittsburgh Panther eye. You know what I'm saying, LeSean? Yeah, even then.
Even then, like when he got with Tommy, everything changed. I mean, you see the stats, the numbers. Before that, wasn't that? Before Tommy wasn't what it is now. It wasn't no dynasty. And then you leave Tommy, and you get the most points scored ever in a playoff game. They didn't have not one fourth down. That was crazy. Scoring every possession.
That
matters, right?
Yeah. No, I see you, but I just had to push back a little bit there. Look, I mean, I believe in Tom just like everybody else, but, you know, no, you choose them. You wouldn't choose the Packers at all? Like, you're like if Brady and the Packers make it and Brady goes back there, you were there last year, you saw it. Think they'd do it again, right?
I think they'd do it again. I just think that they match up well. See, I'm big on matchups.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because I think they're well coached. BA's like a real, really good coach. You know, I think that the Packers, they're a complete team too, but just look at both sides. Like on defense, I think that the Bucks, they play Aaron Rodgers really, really well. Solid secondary.
Okay.
Get a lot of pressure on him. You got to get pressure on Aaron Rodgers without sending the heat, right? Because if you do, he's going to like dissect everything.
Right.
And I think the Bucks do that well. Get pressure with no blitzes.
Okay.
You know, so we'll see.
We will see.
I could be wrong. I'm never always 100% right. I'm just more like 89% of the time right.
89% right.
You got some bets for me, Sean?
No, stop. Leave him alone. Stop it.
If you need me, let me know.
89.
I told you that.
80. Okay, that's right. 89% right, LeSean McCoy. Wow. I've never heard that one before, but thanks for the call, LeSean. You be well. I miss chatting with you. Let's do more of this more often.
One of my favorites, man, for sure. Yep.
Right back at you. Thank you. Right back at you. That's LeSean McCoy right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Shady.
You know, it's kind of crazy when I think about this. This guy was on the all-time team for the 2010s, mm-hmm. right, for the teens, as I mentioned.
10,000 yards.
I covered every season of it.
Make you feel a little old?
I do. It feels me feel really old. I mean, all those first take pictures. And first take, they had me and they, you know, they showed me as a little pup on the set in 96 in ESPN.
See, you've got that time capsule.
I know that, but it's just, I saw myself. I saw it. You know, and I just look like an old man.
Because, you know, we didn't take pictures, you know, in the 80s, 90s like people do today. So if you just to have those... Yeah. Those shots to just be able to show your kids, like that's got to be incredible.
My kids, you know what they love? Because Susie made a video, I think for either the St. Jude Award a few years ago or my 50th, whichever one that was, and they showed me on the set. My kids love the fact that my first thing that I said sitting next to Larry Beal is, who am I and how did I get here? That's how I started my ESPN career.
Yeah, that's great.
And so Taylor will just walk around the house sometimes out of the blue. My 8-year-old daughter would just say, who am I and how did I get here?
Really?
So that's how they're remembering it. That's okay. I'm still the best dad ever. We'll take a break. There's a new man in New York City.
Man.
And I'm going to talk directly to the camera to welcome him to the New York sports scene. And I know... folks will be very upset because he's already been part of the New York State sports scene. This is a different ball of wax. Okay. That's coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen. America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're talking about the revisionist history of cutting Kurt Warner and not drafting Tom Brady. And that was part of, is it Kurt, in the film, it was time for Kurt to go in for the Packers in a practice, and Kurt had just gotten there and was uncomfortable about going in because he didn't know everything yet. He didn't think he was prepared yet. So they cut him. And Mooch has told him, you cut yourself.
Right.
You know, and that's what he says in the movie. And that's pretty much what Kurt says was accurate.
Yeah.
You know. Everyone should go see American Underdog. Great movie. Great movie. Okay. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Welcome to the New York City sports scene, Joe Shane. Who's Joe Shane? Do you say?
Never heard of him.
Joe Shane, great set of hair. The dimples he's a very handsome man. Very handsome man. And he is the man who is getting handed the keys to the big blue car in the New York metropolitan area. The assistant general manager of the Buffalo Bills. Coming to New York City, and he is the one named as the new general manager of the New York Giants. And, you know, you're mandated, is just to say, there's some things you're mandated to say as a sports broadcaster because you could get your card taken away. First of all, any event in Australia is down under. Any event that takes place over in London's across the pond. And when referring to a momentous situation for this team, it's the New York Football Giants. As if anybody remembers the New York baseball Giants. You know what I'm saying? That's what they used to say, the New York football Giants back in the New York City area. One of the things I would tell Joe Shane as he's coming in. Also, get this right, Joe. He's from Elkhart, Indiana. You're not in Elkhart anymore. And this is what's so important about the situation for Joe Shane. First of all, all these New Yorkers are going to pronounce your name Schoen. Don't worry about it. You start winning, everyone will know it's Shane in town. Okay? Secondly, this is such a huge hire because it appears, based on everything that you hear and read, what you hear is the Maras and the Tishes, John and Steve are telling Shane, it's yours. Clearly, when you find the coach, we've got to talk to him before we give them our money. But this is yours. We haven't really gotten it right the last few years, to say the least. And we're out of this business of running the team based on how we think it should be done and this coach and that thing and whatever and our input here. Apparently, they're giving the keys to the general manager, whoever they're hiring, and saying, go for it. So it's up to Joe Shane to decide what they're going to do with Daniel Jones. Up to Joe Shane what they're going to do with the coaching staff. Up to Joe Shane about everything else, scouting, soup to nuts. It's his. And, you know, the bar is pretty low for him. But welcome to New York, man. And I say that with the utmost of respect and total arrogance. Western New York, that ain't New York City. Okay. Nuh-uh. And a nice team that he's put together there, right? With the rest of the staff. They want that piece. So what are they going to do? Does he think, What did he say? What did he say in this meeting? Does he think Daniel Jones could be Josh Allen? Like, now, clearly he doesn't have the heft. Okay? He doesn't bring the wagon to circle like the Buffalo Bills. He doesn't have that. But he does have the arms and the legs. He does have that multiple faceted game. He does have the ability to let you wonder, am I going to take off with it or am I going to throw it? The problem is the last few years has been like, the defense is like, oh, who cares? Take off with it. We'll put you down. And even if you get through us, you're going to trip on the 20.
Wow.
I'm just talking truth. And you're going to hand it off. Who are you going to hand it off to? That kid from Penn State who hasn't stayed healthy and otherwise you haven't figured it out? These are facts. Jeez. What do you mean, geez?
Let's be positive.
I'm positive. This is one of the worst situations Joe Shane has taken over.
I know, but a guy got his dream job.
This is a huge question. And the hire of a coach might answer it. You're already hearing, well, I guess Brian Daboll is going to be the next coach of the Giants.
Definitely hearing that.
Well, I mean, makes sense because you covet what you see every day, to use the Silence of the Lambs phrase, and the guy who's been coordinating an offense that Shane and obviously Bean has been shaping. Can Daniel Jones do it? And one thing that Gettleman has bequeathed are a whole host of talented receivers who haven't shown off their talent because they can't, they wouldn't, they couldn't. They weren't coordinated right. The football injury gods were striking them down. You know? And all I know is that the first thing you got to say to your new coach is, do you have a surrender formation in your playbook? Because if you do, you just right. Hand me the ball.
Turn
just,
around.
Hold
and
on.
Walk
here's
out.
What we're gonna do. Let me
turn
just
turn around.
Hold on.
Walk out.
No, here. I'll use a little bit. I'll use a visual and I'll the little sound. Here we go. This is what we'll do.
Kobe
didn't work for the last one around here. So the bar's low. Set low. Aim high.
Do you have a diner menu call sheet?
No, you can't have that either. How tailored are your suits?
Is your hair slicked back?
But this is the guy. They believe in him. Let's see. Can he bring some of that Bills magic to the Giants? Which is one last other crazy aspect of it. Hour two, Brandon Marshall coming up.